Today begins the first day of Holy Week, and there is no other Sunday in our liturgical year that reflects such dramatic contrast that you hear today. It's especially true this year when we hear the Passion according to Mark, which we think was the first gospel written. We get different scenes and the action moves forward kind of quickly, and there's a lot of things that we remember about the Passion that we don't hear in Mark's gospel. It's sort of very sort of stark. We start in a joyous chorus of Hosanna, and by the end of Mass, we are brought to the depths of despair. When we hear Jesus say, my God, why have you abandoned me? This presentation throws us into a vacillation of emotions and experiences, leaves us reeling to where we are to go from here, from today. If we don't leave here feeling completely lost or sad, we leave here at least a little bit disoriented, not knowing what we're supposed to feel. And to be honest, that's exactly where you're supposed to be. Because in this place of confusion, God has his best chance of reaching our souls. I have worked hard trying to identify so I can name for you the feeling which this liturgy tries to evoke. And I finally came up with a term. It's actually a hyphenated one. I call this feeling anxiety joy. Or you can use another A word, anguish joy, or even agony joy. It's the feeling in its milder form when you just avoided an accident in your car by a split second, and you stop and reflect what could have happened and how precious life is. In a more serious form, it's a feeling you get when you have an upcoming surgery or procedure or some diagnostic test. You are both relieved at the thought of something being fixed or found, and yet you are anxious on what they may find. In its more serious form, anxiety joy is a feeling you have when you are being told your cancer is in remission. You're glad, but you're still anxious. And finally, this combination feeling comes to its most stark expression when someone is dying. You hold to that promise of faith that you have carried your whole life, but you are worried and you're anxious and anguished at the thought that you have to suffer and what really happens when you die. It is a place of emotion where we sit, some comfort, some relaxation, but we keep one eye open or we keep one ear perched to hear Jesus just in case something happens. It's a feeling that all moms and dads have with little children. They know that they're comfortable, but they're always listening for trouble. Why would our church want us to remain in this emotive state? I say it again, because it's a place where you are most likely to hear the voice of God. And in trying to affect our mood, the entire purpose of Holy Week changes from the usual reason that we are here at Mass. Normally, you're asked to attend Mass to give thanks, gratitude for the gift that you've been given today and how the week went and where you saw Jesus. We may be here for guidance or help for an important decision that we need to make. We may just be sitting here just to be closer to Jesus and to give him praise. We may attend church so that we can do these things in a loving community in which we are welcomed and we see friends that we like and know who share love under the blanket of God's professed love for us. All those things that we come to church for are well and good, but Holy Week calls for a different approach. It is a unique time when we proclaim the passion and death of Jesus. Yes, yet we are asked to actually participate in his anguish and his pain. It is a time that we see God who takes us through death and into the joy of new life. Holy Week changes the liturgical playbook. This week we are to change the why on why we are here. And we've had 40 days to get ready for that change. Holy Week, we are come to experience the 7 days that Jesus had to walk with him, to experience with him the anxiety, yet hope and joy promised. We are to be there at the Last Supper, the institution of the Eucharist, and hear the words in our own hearts, "Take and eat, for this is my body given up for you." We are to walk with Jesus when the darkness invades the Garden of Gethsemane. And we are to both feel the agony of Jesus there and, ironically, to be caught asleep. We want to carry his cross like Simon, and yet we run away in tears after denying Jesus out of fear. We are to experience desertion of all when we are faced with death, and yet feel the tenderness of the encounter between Jesus and his mother on the way to Calvary. This week is filled with emotions and carries in it the depth of human experience, from realizing that we all have the potential for betrayal, and yet we all have the nobility of self-sacrifice. These 40 days, if we have done our work, we have spent energy on denying our desires, corralling our passions, and exposing the good and bad we carry in each of us. We have worked to hear the voice of God and battled our egos to obey that voice. Now it is time for us to hear God's voice, stand by his side, and experience the gift he has offered to us. If we have done any Lent, that gift will be magnified in our being present. We will feel that all the liturgies and all they have to offer, we will experience darkness to light, despair to hope, and death to new life. This week, God wants you to watch his show, to offer again the love that he has, and he has been making an offering for thousands of years, the love story written in what we call the Bible. Holy Week, we are to be recipients once again of God's offer of unconditional love. And it is in that mood, that feeling state of anxiety, joy, that we have the best chance of reception of that love, the best chance of hearing that message above all the noise outside. It is when we have actually used our senses to see and experience the Paschal mystery in our hearts and our souls that they are awakened and they put in an alerted state. It is in those circumstances we have the best chance of waking up on Easter Sunday, seeing the morning sunlight, and saying in unfettered joy, "I believe it. I believe it all."